You look good in your team color. I usually don't wear a tie here, but need to wear my hazel green color. So, y'all look good. And it's good to be together every Sunday. It's good to be stirred in our soul by music and to pray together. There are a number we want to remember. I remember Jeff Bennett this week. He faces some probably surgery, looking like. And so we'll be remembering you. And there'll be a time for you to name others that we want to continue to remember, to say thanks. We'll do that in a prayer. We'll conclude with the Lord's Prayer. So, shall we pray together? Lord, life, giver of every good gift, we adore you. You are awesome. You are amazing. You are beyond our imagining with your goodness and creativity. We confess the times we have not recognized you, not trusted you, not honored you. We admit that. We confess the times we have not been the ones you made us to be. For the things we have done, we should not have done, and the things we did not do that we should have done, we pray your forgiveness and strength for life. We thank you for the beauty of this creation, for the gift of music. We pray in thanksgiving for one another. Hear our prayers now, thanksgiving and of need. Whose work is difficult and those who are looking for work just now. Give them confidence and courage and patience. We pray for the talents and gifts will be recognized and used. Lord, we pray for those who struggle in poverty this day, for parents who can't do what they would do for their children. Those who cannot care for their parents as they would. We pray for families, particularly those where life is difficult, where hard words have been said. We pray for patience and for forgiveness. Lord, we pray for those who are in the storms, for those who are recovering from storms. Again, supply your courage. Lord, draw together people of goodwill in this church and the churches down the road, people of no particular church, but who love one another and would serve. Lord, for we believe all kindness and service is but a reflection of your great love. Draw us into one people, even with our different loyalties and our different teams we pull for. We are one and you are one. We give thanks for Jesus, who is the Word present, alive to us, for the Spirit with us always. In the Spirit and as instructed by Jesus, we pray together as he taught us to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Well, it is good to be together. We've been playing with the idea of back to school and back to church and some of the places where our learning or our children's learning or youth's learning sort of intersects with our faith. And so we're going to kind of look at some of those things. And today we're playing with the idea of sportsmanship. St. Paul didn't use a lot of sports images, but he uses a few, really. I'll say a little bit more about the setting, but 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 25 is sort of the one, but I'm going to read one before and one after. Do you not know that in a race the runners all compete, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win it. Athletes exercise self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, or some translations say a garland. But we, an imperishable one. So, I do not run aimlessly, nor do I box as though beating the air. But I punish my body and enslave it so that after proclaiming to others, I myself should not be disqualified. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Lord, open our hearts and our minds, our spirits, all we have to your gracious way. May your Spirit permeate us. Help us to hear the words you need us to hear, and let all the other words of the preacher simply pass away. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we know that sports can be great ways for our children, our youth, to learn some great life lessons, to learn some good values. I mean, one of the things I learn is just some sort of sense of confidence over the bodies God's given them. That I can improve some things. I can work with my body. That's a good thing to learn. Just the joy of moving. Being in the game, that's what a gift. Participation in a sports team, that can teach teamwork and cooperation. That's some stuff you got to learn. As one of our confirmands, I asked some of our confirmands this weekend. We were on a retreat. I said, "Tell me about good sportsmanship." And one of them said, "Don't be a ball hog." Yeah, teamwork. Everybody plays their position. That's a good lesson to learn. Sports can teach us about the importance of rules and regulations. Life is not fun if everybody just does what they want to do, or what they feel like doing in the moment. And it can teach us things about consequences. If you don't play by the rules, you may be disqualified. Or you get thrown out of a game, or you get a penalty, the opponent gets a free shot. And it can teach us persistence. Don't give up. Yeah, it's hard, but keep on. Now, you could learn those lessons in a lot of places. You learn them in sport. You could learn them in a lot of places. You could learn them in a band. you could learn them in an orchestra. You could learn them in scouts. You could learn them in a dance group, I guess. You could learn those in a lot of places. A lot of us hope people in our families will learn them in sports. Some of you, right now, your family schedule is built around games and practices. And some of you have been there, and some of you will be there, perhaps. We love our sports. Of course, you have noticed how some of us adults can get a little over-invested in our sports. Have you never noticed that? I had someone come up to me once after church, pretty angry. They had the hymnal book in their hand. They said, I will never come here again if we sing that song. I said, what? It's number 365, grace greater than our sin. They said, just look at that third verse, the third line of the third verse. And it said, from there will flow the crimson tide. They said, I'm not coming to church that sings about that. I said, this is talking about Jesus' blood. I said, I don't care. It shouldn't be in there. You know, people get over-invested sometimes. I asked my son about that. He's good athlete. I said, what's a good sign you might be over-invested in your team? He said, well, if you can never remember what year your mother was born, but you know for sure that the year that Van Tiffin kicked the 52-yard field goal in the last 6 seconds to win the Iron Bowl was 1985. He said, if you know that, but you don't know your mama's birth year, said you might be a little over-invested in your sports. One of you, I asked the question, and you said, if you might be over-invested in your team if you can recite the top three recruiting prospects for your team and their scores on Rivals.com and Scouts.com rankings, their high schools and their mascots and their parents' names. Said, you may be a little bit over-invested. Or maybe you're a little over-invested in your team if you believe all the Bible is really inspired by God, except that verse, Leviticus 11:8, which says a man should never touch a pigskin, you know. Or maybe you're a little over-invested in your team. My sister told me this one. She's a really strong Auburn fan. And she said, you may be over-invested in a team if you ever seriously considered naming your daughter War Eagle. Or Uga. What about that? There's some little girls named Uga in Georgia. Or you might be over-invested in your team if you pull for Bama, but you file for divorce the morning when you're leaving home and you kiss your wife goodbye and say goodbye, honey, and she says goodbye, Shug. You got to be a little older to know that one. You might be over-invested in your team if you insist they play Rocky Top for your wedding processional. Now, if you did that, I apologize. Maybe you're over-invested in your team if you hear the phrase mixed marriage and you don't think Protestant, Catholic, or Jew. You think, Ole Miss, Mississippi State, or Southern Miss. You might be over-invested in your team if you think, you know, maybe those Hindus have a pretty cool religion because they also worship dogs and hogs and bears and bulls and tigers and gators and elephants and eagles. You know, maybe. Or maybe you're over-invested in your team if you're 40 years old or more. And what a couple of 19-year-olds do on a Saturday afternoon can really ruin your whole week. Maybe you're over-invested. Well, St. Paul wrote this letter to the Corinthians. Corinth, in the Bible, in Greece, was a big sports town. You've heard of the ancient Olympics in Greece. But the year before the Olympics in ancient Greece and the year after, they had what was called the Isthmian Games. Greece is located on this little isthmus of land. And the Isthmian Games were big. People would come from all over the Mediterranean to compete. I mean, they would box. There would be foot races. There would be, javelin throwing and stuff like that. And Paul refers to that when he's talking about that. What's interesting, though, is that in those games, they didn't win like bronze or gold or silver medals. What you won was a wreath made out of greenery or a garland, some translations say. You know, they put it around your neck or around your head. In some of the Olympics, I think it was laurel leaves, but in the Isthmian Games, I was reading, they said they made the wreaths and the garlands out of celery. I don't know. So you won celery. You got to wear around celery for a while. So Paul says, do you not know that in a race the runners all compete, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way you may win it. Athletes exercise self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable garland, celery. But we, to inherit an imperishable one. What Paul is saying is, compete in sports. But you know there is a bigger game being played out. There's really another game going on. There's a bigger game going on. A few years back, I read about a softball team in Seattle. They were called the Heartbeats. The way you got to be on this softball team was that you had to have had a heart or lung transplant. Their main opponent was a team of people who had had kidney or liver transplants. That team was called the Whiz Kids. I'm not making this up. And the referees and umpires in the games were all people who had had cornea transplants. Can't you see? Well, now I can. Yeah. But don't you know, those people playing in that game, don't you know they love the game, but don't you know that softball was not ever the biggest game they had had to play? Don't you know the scariest thing they had ever had to face was not a pitcher with a fastball? And don't you know that that day, or when they play every year, whether they win or whether they lose, they are just glad to be alive and able to play. They've had another game going on. There are bigger games in our life. And it's how we play out every day our lives before God. How we love our neighbor. How we love God in every circumstance that we find ourselves in. How do we love God and how do we love our neighbor in this circumstance? That's the biggest opponent we will ever have, or the biggest struggle or rivalry. The biggest rivalry is not cross town or cross state. The biggest, the biggest rivalries in here. But between all those impulses to do the loving, good thing, and to do the selfish thing. I mean, that's where the rivalry is. It's inside us. It doesn't just happen in baseball season or soccer season or basketball. No, it happens all the time, every day. The place we will have our greatest challenge matches will probably not be the stadium or the court or the field, because the hardest scrimmage lines are right across our hearts, between the good and evil that we're drawn to. So every day we get to choose how we're going to compete there, how we're going to perform and strive. And we get to choose, are we going to do the loving things that builds up others and honors God? Are we going to do the selfish thing that demeans others? Scramble for our advantage. The biggest arena that we'll compete in is our life. In order to win, if we have to demean our opponents, we've maybe not won. Maybe the biggest story of golf sportsmanship comes a story from the Ryder Cup tournament 1969 in England. United States team was playing the British team. First time Jack Nicklaus ever played in that tournament. It had been an acrimonious tournament. I mean, they had just been at each other, and golf's supposed to be kind of a gentlemanly game, but they had been pushing it. They said that sometimes the opponent golfers, they would sort of talk during putts while their opponent was putting. So sometimes, you know, if one team drove their ball into the rough, you know, usually everybody kind of held his place, and they just stood back and you find it. In fact, at one point in the tournament, the coaches of the American team and the British had to pull the guys apart and say, you know, cool it. Let's, you know, remind them. Well, it came down to the very end. The Americans were favored. It came down to the final hole between Jack Nicklaus, America, and Tony Jacklin of England. And Nicholas finished the hole with four. So Jacqueline, to tie, had to make a sort of a nerve-wracking putt of about 2.5 feet. But it was all on that stroke, and the whole, his nation was watching, his team was watching, everybody was there. And it was a moment of high drama. And he was about getting ready to go over to putt, and Jack Nicklaus bent over and just picked up his ball marker, signifying that I'm going to let it be a gimme. He said, you would never have missed that putt. And then he sort of said in the side to him, it's been written in the biography, Jacqueline, that he said, not only did he say, you'd have made that. He said, under these circumstances, I'm not going to give you the opportunity not to. Well, the tournament ended in a draw. The rest of the American team, by the way, was furious at what Nicholson had done. But, I mean, nobody remembers much about that tournament at all but that. Nicholas and Jacqueline became great friends, 40 years. Built a couple of golf courses together. Nicholas understood, maybe there's more important things in winning sometime. Like treating your opponent with dignity and honor. Even being treating them as you would like to be treated. For if to win, we have to humiliate our opponent, we've not really won. 1 Peter 2, verse 17, honor everyone. That's the verse. Honor everyone. Not just those we like, not just those on our side, not just those who agree with us. Honor everyone. It's kind of like they do at the military academies. At the end of a football game to an Army, Navy, or the Air Force Academy, at the end, when the last whistle is blown, the two teams go to the sideline of the losers and they stand at attention while the alma mater of the losing team is played. And then they turn and they go to the other side and they stand at attention while the alma mater of the winning team is played. So that whoever won that day on the field, all have won. All have been honored. All have been respected. The scriptures say honor everyone. Play the game, yes. But honor everyone. Thanks be to God.
Come in. I don't know if I should let you in my house with that shirt on.
I'm not sure I should come in here either. You might be an escaped convict with all that orange on.
Hey, it's my colors. Got to wear them. Kickoff's at 2:30. You know what that means, don't you, Bamer?
What?
2:30. Little hands on two and big
hands. Yeah, don't try counting to 30, all right? You might have to take your shoes off. Hey, you got shoes on. I didn't know they had those at Auburn.
You're so funny. Mm-hmm. Hey, you know what, though? I don't think we're going to have any trouble today, your team or my team. The teams we're playing look kind of like cream puffs.
Oh, no. You know me. I don't like to say that. We'd be lucky if we don't get killed. That's what the bear would have said.
Whatever. Do you know the commonality of Alabama fans and a colony of ants?
No.
They can both live for 30 years off a dead bear.
Y'all managed to live for 50 years off of one national championship, and we had 8 in that time.
Yeah, but you know, I think most of those were before the first space shuttle flight.
Well, your only one was before manned space flight. And plus, they weren't even Auburn then. They were Alabama Polytechnic.
Alabama fans living in the past.
Auburn fans can't admit you don't have a past. You know, I think your only existence for living is to prove that you're as good as Alabama. You can't even enjoy winning a game of checkers without calling a Bama fan. to brag about it.
You're so full of baloney. I mean, oh my gosh. My husband, he does kind of do that.
Yeah, he does do that,
yeah.
Doesn't he? Mm-hmm.
He does.
So, where is your husband?
It's a rough day. He's taking a nap.
Okay. Well, I thought he might be. I know it's been real hard on him this time.
Yeah. This last round of chemo has been really bad. He's just been so sick.
I know it's been hard on you and the boys, too.
Oh, I've been meaning to write you and Felicia a note to thank you for all the help you've given us. All the food and taking the boys to ball games and for you just coming over and hanging out with Greg when he didn't feel like getting up and getting out. We really appreciate it. Oh, I've got Felicia's casserole dish. Let me get it for you. It's in the dishwasher. Bet I didn't run. Ugh, I've been so scattered and so busy, and I just can't seem to get everything together.
No, don't worry about it. No, I'll get it next time.
Okay.
I just wanted to run by here and see how Greg was doing, maybe talk to him, but I'll let him get some sleep. And
okay.
I'll go on now. Just tell him I said hi, all right?
I will. Tell Felicia hi for me.
All right. And, well, I also had something I wanted to give him.
Aw, how sweet. Can I take a peek?
Sure.
Aw, Steve, he's going to love it.
Well, I'll talk to you later.
All right. Hey, you know what?
Yeah.
Greg's really going to appreciate this.
Well, he better. I spent a half hour washing my hands after I touched that thing.
Get out of here.
Well, to our skip team. Go into the world in peace. Love one another as God has loved you. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen.